MMA Roadshow, episode number 239. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me on an absolutely beautiful Thursday afternoon in Las Vegas. That's right. It's a little bit of daylight right now. I'm on vacation, if I'm being honest with you. I am on vacation now. I had a little trip to Disneyland, so, I mean, I haven't worked in a couple days. I'm feeling good. I just got my computers back. That's right, two computers back from the repair shop. That cost me quite a bit of money. I'll share some info on that in just a moment. But it is a gorgeous Thursday afternoon. As we always say, April and October, two best months in Las Vegas. If you're going to come, make sure you come out. It's like 73 degrees. Absolutely beautiful. The window is open here. We can see the palatial Casa de Cold Coffee Estates. And to top it all off.
The best part?
The best part. This is a Latchkey Brewing special. The homie, the head brewer over there, Anthony Beach, hooked it up. Sent us a shipment over here today. And right now, we're starting off light and easy, crisp and refreshing on this summer afternoon. Ooh. With the Yellow Trail Kolsch, 5.2%.
Ooh.
Just a little light Kolsch, refreshing, crisp.
That is super refreshing. That is nice and crisp.
We've got some heavier options, a little bit darker options that we're going to carry along the way, but I figured let's start out on this beautiful summer afternoon.
This is a good way to start.
Not bad. Thank you.
This is really nice.
Anthony Beach, always a pleasure. If you're in the San Diego area, they are at 1795 Hancock Street in San Diego, California. They got a little tasting room on location there. They're fight-friendly. If you want to watch some fights, they'll definitely have some fights on in there. Anthony will talk some MMA with you. He's been I don't know if I should share his secrets, but I think he's been making a little money on the side behind the scenes on a little wager here. And
oh,
there.
He's
been killing his picks. He's been sending them to me. He's been killing it. So,
good shit.
But, yeah, otherwise, search for their products out there in the Southern California area. They are expanding rapidly. But
Yellow Trail Kolsch. This gets my check, man. Yeah. Check mark. Ding.
It's good, right?
That's good.
It's good, right? All right.
Citrus something in there.
I will say, as gorgeous as this afternoon is, it is absolutely
23
chaotic.
Degrees Celsius, for those that don't understand what Fahrenheit is.
Whatever that means. Does anybody in the world really use Celsius? Come on.
No,
everybody's
no.
on Fahrenheit. We know that. It's a little bit of a chaotic afternoon. We'll get into that in just a second. It's kind of unfolding. This whole Nate Diaz, Jorge Masvidal, slash Conor McGregor, slash Kamaru Usman, slash Leon Edwards. It's all unfolding right now. We'll get to that in just a second. But I just want to give a couple quick shout-outs from personal life. Number one, had a trip to Halloween with the family. If you're a parent and Halloween at Disneyland is an option, check into it. They do special days.
Yes.
It's the second year in a row I've done it. It's really cool. You go from like 3 to 11. I will say this, it's not really any cheaper. I mean, they just charge you like a full day price, but trust me, 8 hours of trouncing around Disneyland, that is a full day. I don't care how long the place stays open. But they get in there. At 6 o'clock, they close the park down unless you have these special passes, so the rides get really empty. I guess they limit it to a certain number, and there's no lines at any of the rides. You can go ride like all the rides like super, super fast. And they hand out candy, like literally just – I mean – hordes of candy, man. I like
good candy.
Yeah, good candy, and a couple little fruits here now and then. Some carrots and some apples and some applesauce, just to keep some healthy options.
Not going now.
But good
not
candy.
Not going now.
My kid came home with like two backpacks full of candy. I'm talking about backpacks full of candy. Like so
you were
much.
You were not doing the candy. What were you doing?
No. I was helping him get it with him. I'm saying,
but
that candy's not mine.
I thought you were like, go ahead, mom. Kid, Eva, see ya. Dad's going to go visit over this little
Oh, by the way, I was at California Adventure this year. They rotate it from park to park. California Adventure,
okay.
You can actually get a frosty beverage. Disneyland, you cannot buy a frosty beverage,
really?
Except in the new Star Wars land. But
well,
in the rest of the park
that
of Disneyland,
where I was.
You can't. Yeah,
that's
so
that's where
that'd
I
be where. But in front, over at California Adventure, you can buy some frosty beverages.
Wow.
So I was doing
I didn't
that.
Know that. Because yep. I –
See, now you know.
Old Age
Pro
Nation
tip.
Has been killing
Pro
me
tip.
On ever since she saw pictures of Disneyland. That's like literally her favorite place in the world. And she's always been bugging me. So no matter, take her to Spain. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Take her to London. Oh, yeah, that was okay. But the shit that she always brings up.
Disneyland.
Fucking Disneyland. Over and over. And now you're telling me that they don't have beer is all the reason I can go back to her. I won't tell her about that Star Wars shit, though. I'm like, babe, sorry. They don't have alcoholic beverages. And, you know, I mean, that's not vacation. You know,
that's not.
I don't have kids. So it's like people say it's the most magical place. How is that magical?
It's not magical until you get to the other
side.
You get those cold beers.
So I didn't realize that. Because she always says about the park hopper
yep.
or whatever you have
yeah,
to get
then
to.
You can go to both.
Different thing. So that's a little more into it. But I do like that Star Wars shit, though.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it because it was only California Adventure this year, so I haven't seen the Star Wars land yet. So I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but my kid hasn't seen the movies yet, so I got to let him see the movies and go.
Well, that's the whole thing of, like, you know, Disney's starting their own streaming service as well. Disney Plus.
Trust me, I'll be signed up.
But they have a series on there called The Mandalorian, I think. But it's about, like, a bounty hunter.
Right.
And it's supposed to be dope as shit.
That's the one with Gina Carano in it, right?
With Gina Carano in it. And but you have to have that streaming service. So it's almost like, oh, it's a killer. Like, I would normally never have any reason to want to buy the Disney service. Now I'm considering it. Just because the trailers I've seen have made it look awesome. And it's got who's the guy that played Apollo Creed? The original.
Oh, damn it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I think he's the guy that's in it. I think it's got some other people. But yeah, Gina Carano, I saw and I was like, oh, so I think that makes the conversation legit for our
Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers. That was going to bug me.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool.
I'll be signing up for Disney Plus. Cool. I think all parents are going to be signing up for Disney
How
Plus.
How much is that, though?
Well, here's the thing. I think it's like $10 a month or something like that. But just so you know, this is why, and people say, why the hell are you talking about Disney right now? It does tie in because I've been talking to my wife about it. I am not signing up yet until it launches. They're doing a lot of pre-launch stuff, but it is my understanding from some of the stuff that I've read, the literature, that once they launch, which I believe is like the first week of November, they're going to have a package that includes ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu all for one discounted price, which we already have ESPN Plus and Hulu. I mean, obviously, I have to have ESPN Plus for work. My wife has Hulu for that. So, but those they're all owned by the same company. Yeah. So,
If you could package that into a reasonably cost thing, then I can see it. Because I'm the same way. I have all those different ones, and it's funny. Like, we've been saying for the longest time, oh, we cut the cable, we cut the cord. You know, we're saving costs. But now all these little a la carte shit is adding up. Yeah, I mean, I got the Hulu Plus. I got the Netflix. Well, thank you, T-Mobile, who does not sponsor us, but I will say is awesome.
That's right. Your Netflix is included
Netflix
in T-Mobile.
Is included. They did change it because Netflix raised the price, so they bumped it up $2. But getting the Netflix, getting the Hulu, we use the Sling, which is like 50 or $60 a month. So next thing you know, you add it all together, I'm like,
I'm not saving any money. I cut the cord, now I'm saving any money. In fact, then I had to add data. Now I had to add extra for unlimited data.
Yeah.
Well. So I'm probably losing money. But
So there was at least we feel like we're getting only what we want.
We stuck it to the man. We cut the cord.
Take that,
and
Cox
took
Cable.
More of our money. That's great. One last personal note is funny. You know, I had been on vacation, so I've been able to spend a little more time with my son. I was helping him with school the other night. My wife said, "Hey, you're home. Help your son with homework. That's usually my job. You do it." I said, "Okay, all right." Just had some spelling things. You know, I had to call out words, and he had to write them down. Right, a little spelling quiz.
Oh,
right,
cool.
Going through the words. You know, easy words. Of course, he's in second grade. It's not gonna have big words. But I swear to God, I came to the word stripe. And the word that came out of my mouth when I told him was stripe. I was like,
"That's funny."
MMA owns my life. Right. I was like stripe, and I was like, "What?" I was like, "I am sorry." I was like, "Eli, I apologize. That word is strike, sir. That is strike." So Stipe Miocic has ruined my life. MMA has taken over.
That is funny.
I thought that was pretty funny. Look, one last. I said that was my last personal. One last little pro tip, I guess. Those of you who listen frequently may know that I've had some computer issues as of late.
Yes.
I actually had two non-functioning laptops, or one non-functioning laptop and one partially functioning laptop. Now, the partially functioning laptop, which happened right here at the Casa de Cold Coffee, when I dropped his new computer part on my old computer and shattered. There is glass on top of that trackpad. You have to be very careful about that. So that trackpad just feels like a button. No, there's actually glass on there that can shatter. So always be careful you don't drop that because, by the way, on the MacBook, that is a $400 part, and there's just no way around it. So I had that cost $400.
That is so ridiculous.
I got that replaced. But the other one, now, ironically, this was my wife's computer. I had been using this for a long time because my other computer had been – it needed to be repaired about 8 months ago. And I just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And but what happened on that one was I spilled coffee in it. Completely my fault. I knocked over a cup of coffee at a media day.
At the Palms.
Yeah, at the Palms. It knocked over a cup of coffee at the Palms. It went in there. Now, I took that to Apple. Apple says, listen, for us to do this, it's $1,400. Now, it's a $3,000 computer, so $1,400 I mean, it's still less than a new computer, but, man, that's a lot of money.
So ridiculous.
But I will say this. So shout out to, if anybody wasn't aware of this, I don't know if they normally say this, but luckily the tech guy told me, he said, listen, there's a couple of licensed Apple repair shops in town. When we repair parts per Apple, we have to just replace the whole thing. If there's liquid damage, we have to replace all the components inside on that board. These licensed repair people can actually evaluate piece by piece, and they don't have to replace the whole board. They can see what parts are still functioning and what's not. So they actually, this repair place, took it in, and they said, listen, it's actually just this one part right here that's not working. I can't remember exactly which part it was. But bottom line is, it ended up running me $350 for repair instead of $1,400.
It's so ridiculous that a third-party company can do it, and where Apple's just like, nope, sorry, won't do it, can't do it. You know, it's like,
I know, it's crazy.
Why not? You're the geniuses. Can't you just blah, blah, blah?
Talk
about a money scam, and why people don't get more upset of them for doing shit like that is ridiculous.
So there you go. If you ever have an Apple repair, understand that get your quote from Apple.
Yep.
But there may be a way to kind of save your life a little bit. Save
but it does look good. I'm looking
over it. Nice, right?
I'm looking over it. It looks brand spanking
new.
There's like no greasy finger spots or anything. I'm a little envious because I'm a freak about my buttons, and your buttons look really good right now.
I'm excited about it. Oh, thank you.
I'm just trying to push your buttons, dog. Just trying to push your buttons.
Oh, my God. Terrible. And this is the first latchkey brewing we've had.
This is. Shout out to this Yellow Trail. It's making me very happy. I'm feeling very happy inside.
It's light and fruity. All right. Well, listen, I got my computer repaired just in time for UFC 244, which, as of this moment, still features a BMF title fight between Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz. Although, and I said, it's unfolding right in front of our eyes. I mean, as we sit down to record this, it's not that long since Nate Diaz took to social media to say that he's out, that USADA and the UFC are messing with him, and he had some test results come back a little bit high, and he thinks they're garbage, and because of that, he is out of the fight, suggesting essentially that the USADA officials or the UFC were trying to help him cover up the situation and not mention the situation. He said, listen, I'm not interested in covering anything up. Now, for his part, Masvidal took to social media as well and said, hey, man, it's all good. Like, this is the BMF title, man. I know you're clean, dude. I'm a BMF. You're a BMF. I know you're clean. Let's keep this fight going. Now, of course,
doesn't work, right?
Like that. I was going to say, unfortunately, that's not exactly the way things work. Now, I, along with every other media member, of course, is trying to get some on-record statements from the UFC, from USADA, even though I'm on vacation, still putting in my time, as you need to do. You can't just leave the team out there hanging. I will say, I spoke to one high-ranking UFC official who wished to remain off-record for the time being, but said that he believes Nate may be overreacting slightly at this point. That what Nate has conveyed to the public is not exactly what is going on right now, and that this fight will still happen, that we still got ourselves a headliner. Now, of course, I mean, I guess Nate himself could always just disqualify himself and say, I'm out.
That's true. Well, let's maybe, for those that haven't done it, let me read you what Nate wrote, just in case you haven't had a chance to pull it up. Let me read you what Nate wrote. I'm not going to make it out to NYC for Fight Week next week.
Did you not get the audio recording of it?
Did he audio record it too?
Oh, I thought maybe you downloaded that. Did you not get that?
No, I didn't get that one.
Oh, okay.
you had to give me time to work on that
maybe
one.
Maybe you were producing it.
No. All right, let me start again. I'm not going to make it out to NYC for Fight Week next week because they say I tested with elevated levels that they say might be from some tainted supplements. I call false on that because I only take whole food or natural food supplements. I don't even eat meat. So until UFC, USADA, or whoever is fucking with me fixes it, and that's fucking with all caps on it, I won't be competing. I'm not going to play their game and try and hide it or keep quiet as they suggested. I'm not going to have my name tainted as a cheater like these other motherfuckers who keep quiet until after the fight just so they can get paid. Fucking cheaters. I don't give a fuck about some money over my dignity and my legacy. I'm not playing along with this bullshit. I'm not staying quiet and figuring it out after the fight. That's cheating. So fight game, I'll see you when I see you. Sincerely, the realest, baddest motherfucker in the game. Fist bump.
Yeah, and so that scares me a little bit because it sounds like he's saying, you know, that the UFC and USADA haven't told me I'm out. I'm pulling myself out of this fight.
That's what it seems.
Which seems a little unnecessary. Masvidal did tweet back later. He said, you're not the baddest mofo in the game. I am. But you are one of the cleanest mofos, Nate Diaz. I'll see you November 2nd. I know your name is clean. I don't need U.S. anti-doping to tell me shit.
Yeah.
Now, again, UFC still off record. They haven't said anything on record yet. Everybody's trying to get it. By the time you listen to this, maybe they'll have said something. But at this time, I can at least tell you off record, they're saying fight's still on. But,
yeah.
Nate, you can't make Nate show up. If Nate doesn't want to show up, I hope somebody can talk some sense into him. Because, listen, this USADA process, man, we're learning about it as it goes along. Man, it's not always clear-cut and easy. And you know, it's my understanding that USADA is in the middle of rolling back some change, that there's supposed to be some changes to the program soon that I thought were already going to be announced, but that haven't been announced yet. But it's going to include kind of lessening some of these thresholds, you know, making it so that the thresholds are a little bit higher so that we're not, you know, we've developed these tests that could test down to 1 micron, 1 picogram, and maybe we're finding out that that's not the best because there are, you know, some of these chemicals out there, there's cross-contamination, there's all these
right.
kind of issues or whatever. But as it stands right now, I guess what I'm saying is, as far as the UFC is concerned, the fight's still on. But good God, I mean, what if Nate?
Because
I don't get the feeling Nate needs the money. I
right.
don't get the feeling he really cares what people, you know, think about him, other than his reputation and his honor. And if he feels like his honor is being besmirched here, I would not put it past him to say, "Nah, to hell with your fight. I'm not showing up."
Yeah, because think about it. I could see his point too. Whereas, if he's like, you know, you guys figure your shit out because I don't want to go there, put this fight on. You guys make your money off the fight happening. And then all of a sudden you saw it or somebody's like, oh, no, something wasn't wrong. Sorry. Sorry, I got to take all that money back from you, sir, because it's not like they take the money back from the UFC making
that's
their money.
Right.
So I can see where he's just like, fuck it, I'm not going to play your game.
That's actually a fair point.
You know, like, why are you going to get to make money and then have some shit
it's
fall through?
It's not like you get fined.
They don't get fined.
I
They'll
get
still
fined.
Make their money. So
boy, I didn't
I can
think
see
about
where
that.
He's like, I'm not going to be your pony and just make you the money if you're not going to figure it out. So good on him for that. I mean, it's just weird. Like you said, if they're going to change the way the testing is, what they should do is set a threshold of where stuff becomes beneficial for a fighter. Like when it reaches this amount in a fighter's body, it has benefits for that fighter. I know there's some things where they're just like, this is not even man-made. There is no way to say what is
right.
beneficial or not because it shouldn't even exist in a human
right.
body. But if there are some things that are produced in the body and there's a threshold where it's like, okay, this is beneficial for them, set it a little bit below that just for the fact that you can test to a crazy amount that's super, super small, but it doesn't prove benefits. But then you start getting all this false bullshit where they're like, oh, we're getting a weird test. It's higher than this minuscule whatever. And then you eventually they say, okay, well, never mind. It was fine. It was fine after all.
Yep.
Set the threshold differently so that it's higher. So all this random bullshit is never even seen because it's so far below the threshold that they set that we won't see this shit. But I have no problem with what he's saying because Nate's the kind of guy that he said as far back now for quite a while. He's like, he wants to get his money. It's about his money. It's not about this bullshit. But I think he realizes that, you know, the UFC wants the fight to go on so they can have their money. But they don't care that if a fighter gets dinged because they already made their money. And then, yes,
sure.
they'll punish a fighter, but it's not like the UFC's like, we're so sad that so-and-so fighter, you know, was found cheating. Man, we're going to have a day of mourning right now because we're all upset about it. Like, the UFC doesn't care about that.
The machine rolls on.
The machine rolls on. So good on him to be like, fuck it, you know. Because if they're reaching out to him saying, this might be an issue, we're gonna investigate a little more, we're going to figure it out, but just go ahead. I can see where he's like, fuck it, no. Until you know 100% that this ain't an issue, don't even include me in it.
You're right, you know? Man. You know, at first, it's funny, man. Listen to you say that. I'm not lying. At first, I thought, man, Nate is being irrational right now. But when you put it like that, I kind of feel what you're saying. I kind of hear – I mean, yeah, don't let me go out here, and then you're going to ruin my reputation
ruin
after that and
after,
take some money out of me, by the way.
And take money out of my mouth.
Jeez.
You know?
I can't blame him. Well, listen, I mean, you and I are both going to USC 244. The young Mike Bond will meet us out there as well. That's what I was getting at because, listen, we're, you know, New York is expensive. And so when you start adding multiple bodies, you got to save hotel room nights because things add up.
Yeah.
So we're scheduled to take a red eye flight on Tuesday, fly in, land Wednesday morning, hit the ground running. But I will say, you pull that main event out of this. Now, don't get me wrong. The main card for 244 is good, man. Gastelum Till, great fight. Vicente Luque, Wonderboy, great fight. Blagoy Ivanov versus Derek Lewis, big fight at heavyweight. Yeah. I don't know if I'll say great. We'll see how the pace is on that fight. Gregor Gillespie versus Kevin Lee. Love me
That's
that
a good
fight. I love that. But in terms of having – and here's what's funny. Corey Anderson versus Johnny Walker is on the prelims. If that was on the main card, I mean, I would have no problem with that being on the main card, of course. But
yeah.
I just don't – I mean – of course nothing is going to resonate the way Masvidal Diaz did, but I don't even think you could pick one of those and say, it, like, no disrespect to Kelvin Gastelum and Darren Till, great fighters. They've been headliners as of late, but I don't know that they qualify as pay-per-view headliners right now.
Right. And there's just been so much buzz and so much heat about that fight, the whole BMF thing. We got Conor McGregor tweeting out of left field, I created this belt. This whole BMF belt, this whole BMF fight has became a life of its own. And this is that fight.
Yeah.
You take that away, that's half of what people are talking about
right now. You know what? That in that way, it almost backfired on him, right? I mean,
if there wasn't
the BMF title, like if there had been none of that title, I know that sounds silly because it's a made-up belt, but you know, you are making a belt. You are going to wrap it around somebody's waist. You're going to have The Rock there to put it on. If it was just Masvidal versus Diaz and there was none of that BMF belt talk ever, of course it would still steam.
It'd still sell, but it's built up to be a whole nother beast because of all of it. And it's so ridiculous because it's not a belt. It has nothing to do with like the regular organizational belts. And, you know, and at some point, you know, I could see where they'd be like, you know, who even qualifies to challenge for the BMF belt, you know, and then it's already became a life of its own.
Yeah.
So when you take the two main players that were kind of behind getting it going, it really loses a lot of steam.
It does.
But you're right. The card is still good.
It's still a good card.
It's still a good card.
I guess, you know, Madison Square Garden, New York, they've kind of set a precedent there too, right? That, you know, Madison Square Garden only hosts the biggest of big events. So, man, just fingers crossed this all works out.
The Rock ain't going to come if there ain't no BMF belt.
Can you imagine The Rock shows up, nobody told him that Nate's not there or whatever. He's like, well, I guess he was originally in it for Masvidal anyway, right? So it feels like Masvidal versus Leon Edwards, which is being thrown out there. Now, I guess we should get to all that. Conor McGregor.
Rock's a busy dude. I don't know if he'd show up for anything less than
the BMF title's got to be there, right?
Yeah.
So Conor McGregor tweeted that he's not stepping in. He's got things. We'll talk about Conor McGregor in just a second. He's not stepping in there. Kamaru Usman tweeted that he would fight there. It was funny. I talked to his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, briefly before we sat down to record, and he said Kamaru's dead serious about that. Like, he will go fight in November and then fight Colby Covington in December. Like, he'll take both those fights. UFC's not going to let that happen because they can't risk a suspension or anything like that. So that's not going to happen.
A medical suspension.
Exactly, a medical suspension. That's not going to happen. So,
which could happen very easily.
He could
just take a cut and get 30 days.
And then that fight's gone.
That fight could be gone
so
right
that's
there.
Not going to happen right there. So
he's probably going to take a cut in that fight too. You never know.
Probably will. Fingers crossed, man, this thing.
Even though he doesn't really cut much. I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but I don't remember a fight where – Cummer's been cut up.
Nah, he really doesn't.
Yeah.
He's like
one of those guys, like even when Bones got beat up by Gustafson, he was all swelled up, but I don't remember him like bleeding all over the place. He was just swelled up. Some of those guys have just good faces. They don't bust
open.
Don't
have that scar tissue.
I think I would bust open. Okay. I think I would bust open.
Just leaking like a seed.
Just leaking like a bitch.
All right, let's talk about Conor McGregor. He is back in the news as well. He's doing the media tour of Russia. Again, he got to build off that to saying he'd jump in here. But he's going around. It's interesting to me because, look, you can't get around it without saying the allegations of the sexual assault. I mean, those are out there. Those are reported.
Multiple.
Now, his camp is vehemently denying that anything has happened. As far as from their perspective, that doesn't factor in. But you would be remiss to talk about Conor McGregor's situation and not mention that, oh, by the way, there may be some legal stuff we got to clear up before we know for sure he can fight. That said, I actually do like what Conor is saying right now. This latest, you know, the stuff of I designed the BMF belt, and I mean, when he just throws off the ridiculous stuff that's basically like he's being Chael Sonnen where he's just making up stuff, I don't go for that as much. I'll be honest. I don't get as excited about that. But what he says to me, or not to me,
Has
but
Dana
what he
ever
says
said
to us.
Have you ever asked Dana if that's true or not?
About the
BMF belt?
Oh, no, but Dana designed it. Are you gonna, if Connor designed it?
Yeah, if Connor ever mentioned in like conversation, did like they ever like BS?
No, he's just making that. It'd be a good.
I'm sure
he's
just making it up.
It'd be a good
but
question.
But I mean,
to
like,
ask
has
York,
anybody actually asked to see if there's any truth in it?
Assuming the BMF title is on the line in New York, that'll be a good question to ask Dana. I will ask him. That's a good question. All right, but I like what Connor's saying. He says, "Listen, I want to fight January 18th in Las Vegas. We're already targeting that. Mm-hmm. Then I want the BMF winner, assuming that fight stays together. And then after that, I want Khabib." I love that. That, to me, is realistic. You know, the whole thing of I want my rematch with Khabib, bro.
Right.
No. There's other people in line. You're not stepping in front of Tony Ferguson first and foremost, but there's other people as well.
Would Dana agree with that statement?
I think he would. And there's just, you just can't get him back in there right away, man. There's other stuff that needs to be tended to. But for him to say, look, I'll fight on January 18th, and it looks like Justin Gaethje or Cowboy Cerrone are the leading candidates right there. I'll be honest with you. I think I'd rather it be Gaethje, even though I'm a big Cowboy supporter, always have been. I'm a Cowboy homer, and I would love the idea of Cowboy and Connor. I like Gaethje there too. Gaethje feels a little more personal, a little more real, you know. And just, I mean, Gaethje's a phenomenal fighter as well. But I mean, if Connor were to come in and beat Gaethje or Cowboy, and then beat Diaz or Masvidal, and then jump in Khabib, I mean, I would have no problem with that.
And I kind of feel Gaethje, I don't know, but just deserves it more. I mean, he's on more of a streak. I mean, if there's a guy that should be calling his shots as for what's next.
I agree.
I feel it should be Gaethje. So, I mean, like, this is the guy that's been, you know, in a sense, I mean, he's, what, three wins in a row. He hasn't been talking shit about Connor, but he's been putting the nice little jabs of, the, you know, this guy's not even fighting. He's not even whatever. So, I mean, I would like to see that resolved. I wonder about the whole – so say he gets Gaethje and that fight goes his way, and he wants the winner of the BMF title. So he only wants another belt to add to the list.
Right.
Because if that belt – say that belt, that fight doesn't happen.
Right. Well, the BMF belt is supposed to be one and done as well. It's supposed to not be defended ever.
Okay, but still, and he would still brag about it. That's
course,
why I just wonder if he's going to be like – if that belt, say this fight doesn't happen and that belt doesn't become whatever,
right?
And say he can get Gaethje, does that mean regardless he wants one of those two?
I think so, because I think that would be the I mean, those two wins over any four of those guys. Pick,
right.
I mean, hell, let's just say he doesn't get the BMF belt. Let's just say he beat Cowboy and Gaethje. You know what I mean? Or let's just say he beat Nate and Masvidal. Honestly, if you take those four names and you beat any two of them, I think you deserve. And by the way, and your name is Conor McGregor,
right?
I think you deserve to be back there.
Yeah,
don't you? I mean, if you beat, let's say,
it's just weird because they're different weight classes than to try to immediately come and then pick your shot for like to fight Khabib at a different weight class.
Ideally for me, I think the one that would be like you absolutely couldn't argue with, and I think would be best for everybody involved is Gaethje first, because as you said, Gaethje's the hot name. Cowboy's the legend,
right?
But Gaethje's the hot name, and Gaethje will gauge a little bit. You know, Cowboy's not going to get in a battle pre-fight. He doesn't let himself do that anymore.
Right.
Gaethje's been talking, hey, man, you hit that old guy, and I need to
teach
you a
lesson. Gaethje will walk forward and give us everything that we want.
So Gaethje, and then ideal. Now, I'm not saying this is my pick, but I'm saying ideal, Diaz wins, because then you do the Diaz trilogy, right? Because that if you do the Diaz trilogy, I mean, not that a Masvidal fight wouldn't be big. Masvidal would be big. Masvidal's star, we said it over and over. It's at an all-time high right now.
Right.
But that Diaz trilogy, we know when you put those two names together, magic happens,
yeah.
Right? That would have Conor back at his biggest star potential ever. So I think if he did those, even though, again, hopefully sometime in between then, Tony Ferguson is getting a fight, because I still say he deserves it more than anybody.
Right.
I don't want Conor jumping in front of Tony Ferguson. That would be wrong.
Not for Khabib.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I don't want him. I don't want Conor getting the shot before Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson deserves a shot.
I agree.
But if Conor were to beat Gaethje and then were to beat Diaz, and let's say, even if it's Ferguson at that point, whatever, at that point, Conor would deserve a UFC title shot.
Yeah. And when I just think about the whole George and Nate thing, Nate, definitely that would be a bigger fight for sure. But I just feel like there's always so much hoops that has to like fall perfectly into place for that fight to happen, that where you just know
that's
that
true.
George, if he's ready to sign the line with George, George is going to sign. The fight literally can happen the next month, the
that's
next
true.
Day, next whatever. So part of me wants that fight to happen because I know it would happen. Like that fight will happen. I just feel like when them both Nate and Connor trying to get the numbers to work right, granted that the UFC has a big enough purse, they can make it
you're
work.
You're so right about that, though.
It's going to be so much harder to make that fight happen that I feel like we'd just be waiting and waiting and waiting for it to happen. It would be the bigger fan favorite because, like you said, there's the trilogy. Who wins the third? But
you're talking so much sense today, dude.
It's this yellow trail Kolsch, man. I'm feeling really good right now.
Keep you with a nice steady supply of this all day.
You know, just, oh, no, because then eventually lot. I would get sloppy.
It's only 5.2%.
No, it's pretty tasty. But, yeah, I like that idea. But, I mean, and going back to Cowboy, everybody loves Cowboy. So Cowboy, people just want Cowboy to get the money that he deserves. But in terms of, I think, how the fights would play out, I think Gaethje would give that fight a little bit more so that Cowboy, even though he is starting,
as exciting as there is in the game.
Yeah,
right now.
I mean, Cowboy's starting sooner than he normally usually did, but Cowboy also, I think, still feels that his time is limited. So he is, when he gets in there, you still see him. I see him thinking because he's playing a smarter fighter. So we're not seeing a reckless Cowboy.
You're right.
Whereas Gaethje, I think his style, he just walked forward.
Yeah.
And shit's going to happen. And I think so it lends itself that we're going to see more of what I think we want to see in that fight, which is going to be lots of punches, and then once something grabs a hold, then there's that whole question of, you know, how's Connor going to do when he takes him down, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot more questions, whereas I think when you look at Cowboy and Connor, it's just going to be like, oh, man, whose striking is going to be better today? Who's going to do whatever, you know? Who's going to showcase whatever?
Because they're going to both come out looking to counter a little bit at first.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll throw
sure.
some stuff. They'll feel each other out a little bit. But it's not going to be that reckless aggression from the opening bell.
Which is just Gaethje from the get-go. And he's just
God, he's fun.
And he's just fighting on such a good level. And the dude's got 3 wins in a row, one of them being over the other guy in the conversation. So it's like if you're going to reward one of these guys and it's up to just looking on who has the momentum and should get it,
yeah,
it should be Justin. Yeah. But, you know, we all fucking love Cowboy. So it's
of course,
like, I want Cowboy to have big fights for the rest of his career and make as much money as he possibly can because – that day, unfortunately, when the end is for him, is coming sooner and
sooner. It's coming. It's coming soon, man.
You know,
Nothing
wrong with that. I mean, dude's got a lot of shit going on for him, you know. But he's got a family, and he's said it himself, man. He's just got a lot of irons in the fire, doing a lot of things. You know, he's got it to where he doesn't need to do this. He likes doing it, as odd as it seems, because he used to make it seem like it was like the worst thing initially for him, but then he got to the thrill part of the fight and then he absolutely loved it.
He hates it and loves it.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, it'll be sad when the last days of seeing a Cowboy fight. We're not there yet, but every fight it gets closer than what we're going to see with like a Justin. Justin's got even though he says the same thing as well.
Well, he's always said I can't fight like this forever, man. This ain't going to work.
That's true. That's true. So man, God love them. Both great fighters, man. But, yeah, I mean, be fun to see one of them get in there and do a little face-punchy time with old Connor.
Oh, it'd be fun, man. I'm basing this on the fact that Connor has not been convicted of any sexual assaults.
Yeah.
And he's denying that's happened. Now, if all of a sudden, you know, in the first quarter of next year, he's convicted twice for sexual assault or whatever – now I'm not quite as excited for him to get back in
the
cage.
At that point, he should just be done with the UFC. Yeah. He should just cut ties.
So I guess I should preface it by saying that because, if it turns out that that stuff is not true, and again, I don't pretend to know if it is or not, but if it turns out that it isn't true, then you know what? Connor is good for the sport, man. Now, the focus, Connor. Again, I like what he said. You know, the guy that's dialed in, that wants to stay consistent, that's talking real talk, not the kind of over-the-top, crazy, just making stuff up, Connor. I saw, even though I'm on vacation this week, you know, I've certainly been monitoring our internal chat here at MMA Junkie, and I saw the words Connor fatigue thrown out there by a couple of different members of our team, and I get that, you know, but if he's actually fighting, if he's not just tweeting and he's not just talking and he's actually fighting, Connor's good for the sport, man, because he gets a lot of attention.
And it's kind of funny, you know, like, yes, it's Connor, you know, fatigue, but that's just because we're getting a blast of it in a couple days in a row. But we've been without Connor shit for legit a while.
Yeah.
So buck up, folks. I mean, like, we can handle a few days of random Connor shit. Like, it gets a bit extreme. Like, the whole I designed this and I did that. whatever. I mean, like, it would be a little bit better if maybe they did one press conference instead of like two in two different days and random shit. So I can see where there's a little bit of fatigue, but you know, Connor, he's fun for the sport. He injects a little bit of excitement and conversation back into the sport. But like you said, if shit plays out that any of the allegations against him prove to
that starts changing everything.
Prove to be true, then yeah, dude needs to be fucking gone. Yeah. So I'll be glad to not cover his shit after that.
Yeah. Man, you know what? I was going to talk about John Jones next. It just seems like such a horrible transition to talk about like legal problems. And then, oh, by the way.
And now for more legal news.
Oh, man, I hate to, well, that's kind of what I had on my notes. That I did want to talk about John Jones. Like I said, I don't have any interviews or anything. I've been on vacation, so I haven't done any phone interviews or anything like that.
You didn't interview old Snow White or any of the other people there? That could have been fun. Get their on the street MMA interviews.
That would actually be pretty
Disney.
Funny.
Hey, Goofy, what do you think about?
Other than the fact that my wife and kid would have slapped me, it would have been pretty funny to get some Disney.
Well, it's
interviews.
Funny because like when I saw your vacation schedule, I thought you were going to be there all week. So I was actually wondering how you were going to phone me and do the thing. But I just figured if you were at Disneyland, it's easy to say, hey, can you guys just find something to do while
true.
I do something for 2 hours? If there's ever a place in the world where you could probably get away with it, that's probably the place.
That is absolutely
if
true.
If not there, where else?
Hey, wife and kid, do you think you can keep yourself entertained for a couple hours while I go knock his ass?
I wonder if there's something to look at and watch for the next hour.
Oh, it's the best. There's nothing better than taking a kid to Disneyland, man. It's the absolute best.
So what do you think? So, all right, so Agent H has been bugging me to go forever. Mm-hmm. I'll take the curtain away. I'm 45. Never been.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
I'm old as dirt. Never been to Disneyland.
What?
Would it see? Now that you find about the other thing. So, what is there for me to walk there? Like, if I got there, because she wants me to go so bad. She like, I mean, do you just fall back into a kid? And maybe the listeners can chime in. Hit us up on our Patreon. Hit us up on Twitter. Let me know what you think. Like, if I go there, will I just regress back to my kid? Because I've loved Disney stuff since I was a kid. I mean, who hasn't? Mickey Mouse, Goofy, and all that other shit. Do I just roll back into my head and just love all that shit? Or would I be like, what the hell am I doing here with this overpriced venue?
Yeah, all right. All right, I'm going to lay it out for you. If you go, make sure you get a park hopper ticket, okay? Because the better rides are at California Adventure.
The
more exciting rides. Yeah, like the roller coaster, like the roller coaster they have is a really good roller coaster, actually. It's pretty good. And then they have, like, the Tower of Terror that's now Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever.
Okay.
That is one of the craziest rides I've ever been on because I don't want to spoil it for you. Because it's kind of unknown. I think the unknown of it, like, the first time you ride it. Like, after you've ridden it once, it's not that bad. But the first time you ride it, you're like, what in the hell is going on? It's awesome. So there's a couple other things over there. So there's more rides at California Adventure.
Yeah.
So you want to have park hopper access because – over at Disneyland, I mean, now I haven't been to the new Star Wars thing. See, you would love the Star Wars thing.
Star
no
Wars.
Question about that. You'd love that. There is
Harry Potter's not that. That's like Universal.
That's Universal, right. Okay. So you would love the Star Wars part. There's a couple rides that are good. Like there's it's like a train, like a runaway train thing in like the Wild West or whatever.
Okay.
That's a really good ride.
Okay.
It's fun. Yeah.
Sounds
so there's
right.
there's a couple like Space Mountain, which is now Hyperspace Mountain or something.
It's more of like shows and stuff, right? Or you see the characters?
That's it. So that's it. What I'm saying is, so as an adult with no children, you want to make sure you can do both because you're going to want the rides. You know what I mean? With children, especially with your own kid. I mean, dude, like I've been to Disneyland before. I'll be honest. Even when I was a kid, I don't remember loving it that much. I think because, you know, you're going to stand in lines. You're going to – it's you know – but, dude, like, the first time you, like, see your kid's face, like, seeing, quote-unquote, Mickey Mouse for the first time, you know what I mean? Like, their eyes light up, you know what I mean? Just the smiles. They see stuff going around every corner. Like, oh, look at this. And, dude, like, that type of joy on a kid's face, like, man, it melts your heart. So
I get that.
And so as a parent,
I'd probably get excited if I saw some of the princesses and something.
Oh, some of the princesses. All right,
you know?
Man, you get some of them.
I'd be like, hey! All right, well, that's good to know.
Okay.
I mean, like, I grew up in Ohio where we have
–
that's the thing, the cost. Every time I think of the cost, I'm like, babe, come on, we could go to another country.
But I'll say this.
For
if you can do it, ball out and stay at the Grand Californian that's like right on the property.
That's right in the property.
Yeah, that one you can actually walk into the park from the property. There's a couple other hotels that are like really, really close. Because any hotel you stay at around there that's not a dump is going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So if you can just cough up a little extra and stay right on, dude, it saves you from having to like park and take a bus and
take
go here. You know what I mean?
There.
It's just it's annoying.
Yeah, because I grew up in Ohio. I mean, you're familiar with Ohio. We had Cedar Point up north, and we had Kings Island. So we had great rides.
Those
places.
Are ridiculous.
Like those places for rides. So anytime I go to a place that has rides, I'm like, all right, show me your rides.
Yeah.
And I always base it upon those, and it's always tough to compete. So I would definitely have to get the ride part. But yeah, I don't know. Part of me wants to go just to see before I'm too damn old, but more than likely I'll probably be 70
die.
The first
time
I go.
Never gone to Disneyland, dude. You weirdo.
I'll be 70 going there. You're like, weirdo. Ah, this is awesome. Where's the princesses?
If you like what you're hearing on the Disney Roadshow, log into podcasts, by the way. iTunes is different now. If you log into iTunes, it's just music. Apple user,
I knew it was changing, but I haven't logged into it yet.
Now you have to log into podcasts, and that's where you leave us ratings and reviews. If you can do that, that helps us out a lot. If you can leave
Did
us a five
all the
star
old
rating,
reviews
but yeah, still got all the old ratings and stuff that's in there. So if you can log in there, leave us a rating. That's great. Of course, make sure you subscribe so you're getting this thing downloaded, because we come to you every single week, even when we're on vacation. 239 consecutive weeks of at least John Morgan. We've never had 239 weeks. We've never had an all cold coffee episode.
Nobody wants that episode.
Everybody wants that episode.
I thought, you know, part of me was like, man, Morgan's in fucking Disneyland. Am I going to have to do this show? I was like, it will be the shortest show ever if it was just all coffee.
Now, that
coffee.
Is true. It would.
It literally would be the length of drinking a cup of coffee. We would call it literally
a cup of coffee,
cup
with,
of coffee,
cold coffee.
With cold coffee. That's about it.
Well, listen, all I'm saying is you should be subscribed, because we bring you fresh content every week, 239 consecutive weeks we've done it. So even when we're on vacation, we don't miss that.
Next week, we'll talk about a different theme park.
Oh, man.
Next week from Knox Farms.
Hopefully we'll be in New York. Hopefully we'll be talking about that.
You probably will be. I'll probably get pulled from it.
Speaking of fresh content, how about this fresh new entry from Latchkey Brewing? We have now switched over to the Hatch IPA. It is 7% alcohol by volume, so a little bit stronger.
Ooh, that's good. Is that a fruit? Is a Hatch like a berry? Like, isn't there like
isn't
a Hatch something?
I didn't get the tasting notes. That is my fault, Anthony Beach. I apologize. I did not bring the tasting notes.
Ooh, yeah,
but when I saw Hatch, you know, they're always cleverly named. I assumed the Hatch was a Hatch chili. Like a green chili.
This is one with the chili.
I don't know. I don't know if it is. Now I'm not
it's
sure.
It's good, though. It's I like that one. But, yeah, it is slightly a little bit more robust than the last one. It kind of hits you on the back of your tongue where you get the little sour notes.
Right.
It's good, though. 7%. It doesn't taste like 7%. Once you start getting 7 and higher, you kind of expect that you start tasting that more stronger, full-flavored. And it definitely is that, but it's not overpowering by any means. But, yeah, that's tasty. I love the – what the fuck size is this can? 32-ounce can, man. This is nice.
All right, well, so that Anthony does not completely slap me upside the head, I did pull up the tasting notes.
Oh, good
job. It does not have a Hatch chili in it.
No.
I just made that up.
Okay.
I feel like he's made one with a chili before that I remember being good. But the Hatch IPA is a West Coast IPA featuring Citra, Eureka, Cashmere, Idaho 7, Simcoe, and Mosaic. I don't know what that means. Are those places? Are those ingredients? I don't know. But it says the beer notes. This hop salad is crisp, dry, and easy drinking with nice citrus and floral notes.
See, I tasted the citrus. Well, just for your defense, I just happened to do a search. There is a garage brewing company does a Hatch Chili IPA.
See?
So there is a Hatch Chili. I knew it sounded familiar when you said that, so.
All right.
But that is a
– shout out to Latchkey Brewing.
It's tasty.
1795 Hancock Street, San Diego, California.
Hand what?
Hit them up.
Hancock. 7%.
All right. Speaking of Hancock, John Jones. Just looking for a better transition. But listen, John
that
Jones.
Your better segue. That was the worst transition ever.
I know. John Jones. All right. I'm kind of not – I don't know what I'm feeling by John Jones right now, so I want to get your take, and especially with all the logic that you've been throwing out there. There was just the reality they've been bringing.
Now we switched to 7%. My logic might be going out
there. Might be gone. Might have should have weighed in earlier. All right, well, listen, Dominic Reyes, we didn't do an and a half last week because it was super late on the East Coast, and it was a Friday show, so we had literally just delivered a show. So I felt like doing another show might be a little much. But Dominic Reyes did pick up an impressive win over Chris Weidman. Unfortunate ending for Chris Weidman, man. I mean, the punch that he was dropped with, I think probably would have dropped just about anybody. But the hammer fist that finished it off, I think left a little bit of people questioning whether his chin is still there, especially considering he had taken a lengthy time off, which normally you think of taking a lengthy time off kind of maybe helps refresh the chin a little bit, as Stipe Miocic has said before. So, I felt bad for Chris Weidman, but Dominic Reyes is a guy that's been on our radar for a while. We've been hyping him up along the way, saying we think this is a guy that deserves a title shot in the future. Now, after the fight, I feel like he's probably the deserving number one contender. I get that maybe John Jones and the UFC want to wait to see what happens at 244 with Corey Anderson and Johnny Walker. Now, Corey Anderson, I love Corey Anderson, man. Beast in 25-8. I don't like overtime so much. Beast in 25-8, though, I love. But, look, it's just fair to say he's not the flashiest, most marketable. He's not the guy that jumps out at you. Yeah. But if Johnny Walker were to get a spectacular win, yes, I know he's very new to the game. He doesn't have the skins on the wall that Dominic Reyes has on the wall in terms of, you know, tenure and having main evented now and all that. But I feel like every time Johnny Walker steps in the cage, there's like some kind of viral moment, you know. And I feel like he's somebody that people are maybe more excited about. That said, you know, so I guess if they're waiting, but I do feel like Dominic Reyes is the deserving number one contender right now. And I saw John Jones took to Twitter this week and he said, look, I'm really not sure when I'll be fighting next. I feel like I have nothing to gain by beating Dominic. I've actually felt that way about my last two opponents. I want a super fight. I had a chip on my shoulder against Gus. Fighting Smith, Santos, then Dominic, I'm having a hard time even talking shit to this last dude. They all say the same lame shit. I want a fight to be excited about. Now, Dominic Reyes is not the most boisterous, over-the-top, brash guy. He is starting to step his game up a little bit. He clearly said that he wants John Jones next. He clearly said that he thinks he's the most deserving. But again, he's not going to be a big trash talker, and that's okay. We don't want everybody to be a trash talker. But I just don't like the idea of John Jones totally dismissing Dominic Reyes. I feel like he's deserving in there. You know, instead, and this is why I say I don't know how to feel about this, because it's not – look, I know John Jones ain't scared of Dominic Reyes, all right?
Right.
I know that's not the case. And, you know, John's out here talking to Israel Adesanya, who a lot of people think would be a dangerous fight for John Jones, even though Adesanya's a smaller guy. He's also saying – I feel like the Ngannou fight is inevitable. Francis Ngannou, I mean, Francis Ngannou is one of the scariest dudes in the game. I mean, say what you will about his skills, about his well-rounded nature. If you want to criticize his wrestling or his ground game, of course. But in terms of just being a scary dude that you know if he hits you, your lights are going out.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a scary dude in the game right now, except for the fact that Rumble Johnson is coming back in the mix as well. So anyway, I'm kind of torn because I know John Jones isn't scared. Okay, so I'm not trying to suggest that. And I do like the fact that he's talking about big fights. I mean, he's talking about Adesanya. He's talking about Ngannou. I mean, those are big, big fights. But I just don't know if I like the idea of dismissing Dominic Reyes. I don't think that's right. I feel like Dominic has earned his way to the top. He's an undefeated contender. And I do feel like there would be something to gain for John Jones. I feel like turning away this new crop of contenders, man, if he could go out there in 2020, beat Dominic Reyes, beat Johnny Walker or Corey Anderson, you know what I mean? Like, I understand those might not be considered super fights, but in terms of legacy, consecutive title defenses, cleaning out a division, I mean, there would be nobody. Because I feel like right now, I mean, I guess you could throw in like an Alexander Rakic or something like that. No offense to Jan Blachowicz. I know he feels like he's deserving, and maybe he is, but at least for me as a fan, the question marks, or at least the ones that I'm excited about, are Dominic Reyes and Johnny Walker. And I'm sorry if that doesn't excite John Jones, but I think it would add something to his legacy. So set me straight, Mr. 7%. am I right to want to see John Jones in this fight, or is he right by saying this is not going to bring multi-million-dollar paychecks? Let's explore Ngannou. Let's explore Adesanya. I can't get up for Dominic Reyes.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's true. When it comes to will a Dominic Reyes give him as much money as a hand-picked, quote, super fight, as he calls it? It's true. I mean, when you're looking at what is best for the division, what is deserving of the division, then hands down, either Johnny Walker or Dominic Reyes, and Dominic Reyes should get the nod before Johnny Walker.
Right.
No offense to Johnny, but it's just, I think it's just a clear proven for what he's done already in the UFC and the run that he's on. I mean, there's no one more deserving than him. What he was able to do, you know, granted, Weidman was this jump up, you know, to the division, but he was still a former champ.
Right.
And what he did to him was just ridiculous. While Johnny is exciting and is just dynamic, and I think who can give a lot of problems to Dominic and to Jones, he just doesn't, and I don't mean this to be, like, bad or whatever, he just doesn't have the history of the guys that he's went through of just maybe some of the names that I think of what Dominic has done. But he's still a very deserving fighter, and I think it would be a lot of fun.
So he's
I think
exciting. He's a lightning rod guys, of attention,
yeah.
man.
Either one of those guys is great. But I can't fault Jones, and I can't fault any fighter you know, for trying to get their money's worth. And I think that's at this point Jones is realizing, I just want to get the fight. And he's not the first fighter, you know, and he certainly won't be the last fighter that wants to hold out for what he's doing. I mean, look at what Conor's doing. Look at what Nate's doing. Look what all these guys are doing. Even Masvidal, all these guys now are chirping, and they're just saying what they want. You know, so I can't fault him for that. But you also can't hold up a division forever because you want to just do super fights.
Right.
You know, if you want to be the champion of a division, you have to fight the division's best fighters, and these are the next two guys.
That's it.
So while it might not be the most exciting, you got to fight him at some point. But that being said, I can't fault him for wanting to have a big super fight. So if that means, hey, give me a super fight, and then within the next 8 months after that, I have to fight the number one contender, so be it.
Yep.
But you can't just keep picking super fights. And whether it doesn't excite you or not, at some point you should be obligated to fight the guys in
and
your division.
And it does add something to you. He says, it does nothing for me. No, man, it extends that legacy. It extends your reign of domination.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
look at DJ. I mean, like, a lot of people were getting to the point like, oh, this guy has to go and leave the division because he's went through everybody. He literally cleaned out his division. And then it got to a point that, you're too good for your division. You got to go elsewhere. You want something to say, and you want to get excited. I mean, like, and clear out your division. Then you know, fucking start picking the next division up. You
yep.
know, for the longest time, he's like, I'm not going to do that to DC. I'm not going to go up to heavyweight. I'm not going to do this. Now you want to pick and choose random fights at heavyweight.
See, that's what's weird to me too. Okay, like, I'd probably be more open to the Adesanya fight because at least it's another champion. Now, I know that's weird because I'm assuming John can't make 185, so he's got to be saying Adesanya's got to come up to me. But if Adesanya's coming up, my belt's got to be on the line. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So at least that would be more enticing, I think, because you're taking champion versus champion. And, of course, there's always been the comparisons between them. And as we said all along the rise of Adesanya's, way up to the top, it's a bit of a lazy comparison because they're lanky black dudes, like they're tall, lanky black dudes. Oh, they're the same. But no, like, there are uncanny resemblances in certain angles and certain pictures that they remind you a lot of each other. And then their games are just fun. So,
yeah.
Adesanya,
some of their spinning elbows.
Yeah.
It's like, it's hard to not compare one to the other because they're so devastating. But they have similarities just because that's what the technique does.
I'm excited for that. Now, that said, I don't think. Same thing. I don't think Adesanya needs to be abandoning middleweight right now. I mean, there's some big names right there, and I'd like to see him stay there.
And he's fine doing that. I think the only way is just because chirping started happening.
Oh,
and he's
yeah.
like, oh, okay, now it's on.
Oh, they're chirping. They're chirping solid, man. They're having some.
That doesn't need to happen anytime soon.
But that's the thing is, I'm not in a rush. I feel like that needs to take time. So then that leads me, so you, again, and I always do feel like it's weird when you're calling out the smaller guy. Like, unless you're willing to do Dillashaw, and I'll go down. That's why I always respected Dillashaw, even though that turned out to backfire for him.
Yeah.
At least he was saying, look, I can beat you, and I'll go down there to your division and do it, versus, hey, bro, you ain't shit. Come up to my division, and I'll prove it to you. Like, what do you mean? I'm not your size. Why would I fight you? Way to pick on the smaller guy. So then you go, okay, well, Ngannou, John Jones is saying, dude, I'll take the scariest dude out there, and I've got to go up and wait to meet him. Okay, I got more respect for that. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, that's that now. but no belt. As you said, it's kind of a it's kind of a random thing. Like, are you just picking him because, yeah, he's scary, but you also know he's not well rounded, so you know that if you can get past the big punch.
Like, if Adesanya goes up to 205, and should that fight happen and John be the title holder, 100% that fight has to be for the belt. Anything less than that would be absolutely just ludicrous. But going up and fighting Ngannou, of course, that shouldn't be for
and
the
belt. And you know
belt
your belt's on the line, so you know your contract isn't going to get it. You know your contract, your champion's contract isn't going to be affected. Even if you get knocked unconscious in 3 seconds, you still get to go back down to light heavyweight and say, well, I tried, and thank God my champion's clause and my pay-per-view points are all still sitting here nice and firm.
And that could be an exciting fight. I mean, there would be a lot of buzz about it. I mean, that's just Ngannou is becoming large. And like, dude's on commercials now. I mean, he's still just such a freak of nature that people are drawn to him. Yeah. So that fight would get more clicks, unfortunately, than a Dominic Reyes fight.
That's
that is for the belt. Unless the UFC finds some way to sell it or spin it. There's just that factor. I mean, but that part of that's just heavyweights. People just absolutely adore heavyweights, and they love the power, and they love the promise that at any moment the fight could be over. You know, regardless of when you look at Jones and you look at Reyes, the fight could still be over at any point. But there's just something about heavyweights that is just so intriguing to people that I think looking at Francis, you know, as just this fucking monster, and then seeing Jones, a lot of people would question, okay, is he going to be able to take the power? You know, how's he going to do? You know, and then they'll have questions about, you know, Francis. So there's a lot of intrigue there. Whereas if it's a Dominic and them, it's about just, you know, the best fighter for the light heavyweight's going to reign supreme, you know, but there's less little funny, like, story angles, you know, that could come out of it.
I agree.
You know, but it's a fight that needs to happen for the division. I mean, and Dominic's deserving. I mean, what he did to Chris was just spectacular, man. That last smash, you know, was almost like this little – it wasn't even like a fucking donkey punch, whatever. It was just like a little backhand.
Donkey Kong punch, it not donkey punch, bro.
Wait, what's the donkey – is that the sex punch?
Yeah.
Ah, whatever. Y'all dirty perverts know what I meant.
Donkey Kong punch, man.
And then he did the rusty trombone right after that. The Donkey Kong punch. But it was more like a backhand that he did. And it was like purely devastating. So the dude has power for days. So nobody can definitely discount the fact that Dominic Reyes is the most deserving and a dangerous opponent, you know. But again, it'd be ludicrous to say that Jones is scared of him. I don't think Jones is scared of anybody.
Nobody.
He just wants money, and I see that, and I don't fault him for it. You know, if I had to go in there and fight another man, I'd want to make sure it was for the most money I could get as well. So
absolutely,
I have no problem with that.
Real quick, just Greg Hardy, kind of relaying to Boston, Dominic Reyes. Greg Hardy, that whole situation was weird, man. I hate to say I feel bad for him, but because I get that it's easy to make him public enemy number one, but that situation was so weird with the inhaler and, you know, him asking Dean Thomas, and Dean was like, I don't know if you can use it. And then the inspector saying, you know, yeah, you can. And so he uses it, and the fight's overturned, so no contest. And
and then he's handed another fight immediately after.
And now how about that? He's getting back. Hey, step up in competition though, right?
A huge step up, but it's also like, hey, I'm worried that I might have upset people and people might be mad. Nah, bro, I think you're okay. They literally just handed you another fight. Moments.
Because he's like,
moments after you just did this.
Hope the boss man isn't upset with me.
I think you're okay.
Yeah, listen. I think, you know what, though, man? I do feel like this is the kind of fight. And again, if anybody hasn't seen it, I'm sure you have. I'm on vacation. I saw it. I'm sure you did. Alexander Volkov, Greg Hardy's going over to Russia. Junior Dos Santos was ruled out of that fight. So now he's going to go in, fight in Russia. Listen, okay, I understand it's easy to be a Greg Hardy hater. I know there's people that are going to hate him no matter what he does. He could win 100 fights in a row. He could open 100 schools for children.
Right.
And they're still going to hate him. I get it. I totally get it. But, dude, volunteering to go in Russia to travel over there on relatively short notice. I mean, you're only talking about a couple
of
weeks.
Very short notice, yeah.
Make that travel and to fight against a guy as proven as Volkov. Man, you wanted Greg Hardy to get a test. You thought he was being handed cans and spoon-fed his way to the top.
Yep.
This is a test. And look, I do, like, on the surface, I think, holy God, this is crazy. But look, Greg Hardy is a big guy, and I think he's way faster than Alexander Volkov is. Way faster than Alexander Volkov is. But he's not nearly as seasoned. He hasn't seen nearly the things that Volkov has. He's not nearly as well-rounded. I'm actually fairly intrigued by this fight. I mean, I know it may sound weird, but I'm kind of excited for it.
Well, you say that, John, and I'm intrigued as well because, one, the whole – and I want to double back before we start talking too much about this fight, and we want to go back into the Hardy thing because I know a discussion came up in our own Slack channel about – whether who was in the right and who was in the wrong, who should be punished, who should not be punished, you know, because Greg said that he's going to, what is it, appeal the decision. And I feel that that is justifiable. You know, there was a lot of chatter, people saying, oh, you know, the corner should have known better, the fighter should have known better, it's his fault, the commission, even though that commissioner guy said that it was okay, no, bad on him. My thoughts is this person, whether he was just in the heat of the moment or whatever, he is a representative of the commission. So the commission should live and die by their representative. So if he looks over and says, can I do this? And the commissioner says, is it medical or whatever? And if he doesn't give me an answer to my question as a representative that I'm happy with, I say, no, do not use that right there. And if he does it, I stop the fight right there. But the fact that I don't, the commission should live and die by it. So I should think that this no contest should get changed.
All right, so okay, I like a lot of what you're saying there. The 7% cold coffee is still making some sense. not maybe as
we'll see by the end of this class.
We'll see. Yes. Now, what I will say is, I think you're absolutely right. I don't know if it's enough to overturn it, right? Because there is some culpability on both people. But what I don't think, the people that are going out at Greg Hardy as, well, this is Greg Hardy. Of course he's cheating. He's doing this. Like, if you go back and watch it, you know, Greg's like, he asked Dean Thomas, hey, man, can I have my inhaler? And Dean's like, dude, I don't know if you can use it. And Greg was like, you know what? Don't worry about it then. But then he turns over to the inspector, says, hey, can I use it? And the guy says, well, is it medical? And he's like, yeah, USADA approved. And then you can't really hear any verbal response, but I think he's just like, uh-huh. And so he uses it, right? As you said, if there, I mean, think about this. I mean, luckily it wasn't the most barn burner of fights of all time, but, you know, what if Ben Sassoli had sustained some kind of head trauma in that third round or something like that? Right. Like, if the commission deems it to be cheating, then say it right there.
Right.
If you sat there and it wasn't like he hit it. I mean,
yeah. You could have easily just stopped right there and just said, like, that's it. No. What'd you just put in your mouth?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's enough. They should have did something right there. I mean,
there's blame falls on the commission as well. Now, is that enough to overturn it? I don't know. Because, I mean, yes, there is some, as a responsibility as a combatant, you have responsibility to know the rules. You know, not knowing the rules is not an excuse, right? It's not, I think they say that in law sometimes, like, you know, ignorance of the law is not a suitable defense or something like that. Like, you're
sure.
You still broke the law. Whether you knew you couldn't chew gum in Singapore or not, you can't. So now you're getting caned. Right. You know what I mean? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it's enough to overturn, but I do feel like at least in the court of public opinion, or at least in, and obviously with the UFC, it worked out.
Right.
I don't think you should criticize Greg Hardy or chastise Greg Hardy because he didn't know, he asked, and he was given bad information.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a whole lot different if he just reached into this bucket, grabbed his inhaler out, and then took a couple tokes off of it. He did not
You're
do
right.
that.
You're right, that actually would be different.
He actually reached over. That would be, then there would be no problem. Then people would be like, oh, dude, you should have known better. You know what the rules are. Then I get that whole thing. But the fact that he tried to ask and could he have said something better? You know, when the guy said, is it medical? He could have said, I'm not sure. It's USADA approved. Waited for clarification instead of it's USADA approved. Toke. You know, there wasn't a lot of time. So there was a very short window for the commission guy to have stopped it. But still, regardless, he saw it happen. And something could have happened there. So I don't know.
You get the referee's attention at that point.
Yeah.
You don't just walk out of the cage like, oh, my God, I can't believe what I just saw.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? No, you tell the referee.
So it's just weird that, you know, they're able to – the commission's able to play this high and mighty role up above after the fact, you know, and be like, oh, no, it didn't work out like it was supposed to, so we're going to say like this. So it's like, this is your person that's supposed to be trained and you – authorize this person. Where's your training?
That's right.
Where's your culpability and you're in?
Yep.
You know, and I guess that's the, I mean, I guess they could have said, well, he could have been DQ'd, you know, for using something. We split the difference. We just did a no contest, you know.
I mean, look, but, I mean, it would be, like, it's kind of a funny comparison, but, like, you know, what if you leaned over to Herb Dean in the middle of the fight and said, hey, can I kick him in the nuts?
Yeah. I'm going to kick him in the nuts.
Yeah. Hey, man, said I could kick him in the nuts. Well, you should have known it was against the rules. Yeah, right. But he said I could kick him in the nuts. Yeah. So I kicked him in the nuts.
You know. But now ending on that craziness, because I'm sure that's the kind of shit that people will yell about and argue about. So I'm interested to see that thing. But jumping forward into this Volkov fight, looking at Hardy's performance, and no offense to Cecoli, because Cecoli is a super tough opponent.
Right.
I was not impressed by Hardy's performance.
No, I wasn't.
And so going,
I mean, he showed wrinkles, like the leg kicks
he
were
showed
nice.
Wrinkles.
He paced himself because I think he knows he doesn't have 15 hard minutes
in him. There was moments where you could see that there was definitely improvement, but I didn't see what I think would be necessary. Unless he catches Volkov with one of those strong hits, if Volkov plays smart and plays his distance, I just don't see where Hardy's going to hurt him. And then Hardy got tired. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, he ran into the whole point where he was having breathing issues, and then, you know, but I don't live with asthma. I don't understand the differences, but I think that's probably one of those things that somebody should say, well, you know, if you have to take something to keep you into the fight, maybe you shouldn't be fighting.
Yeah.
You know, I could see Greg's part where he's like, it's just levels of the playing field. It gets me to where you are. You know, I get that, but that's the reason why not everybody can do everything.
Right. Well, that's why that used to be the argument with testosterone replacement therapy, right? Like,
right.
Hey, man, I'm 40 years old. This gets me on a level with a 25-year-old. Well, yeah, bro, you're not supposed to be on a level with a 25-year-old. You have all the experience. You know, they have the youth on their side. That's where the balance comes in combat sports. So I agree. Listen, I think this is a tough assignment for Greg Hardy. I mean, I haven't seen an opening line yet. I haven't paid that much attention. I'm sure Volkov is a massive favorite, as he should be. I do think there are paths to victory for Greg Hardy. He is a naturally better athlete. Like, Volkov is huge and he's well trained, but he is not like there's nothing about him that stands out at you as like, oh, dude, this dude definitely, like, if he'd have chose football early on, he could have definitely done that, or like, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, he's kind of, I think he's a little bit of a plodding kind of fighter. So I mean, there's going to be a speed differential. But I think there'll be
a huge speed difference.
There's a huge speed
but
difference.
Literally, all he has to do is just follow the Derek Lewis game plan, and you can literally get beat up for, what is it, 14 minutes and 49 seconds, and then just get that last hit in, and then you're good.
I mean, that's it. It's rolling the dice, but it could. Look, I would hope that Greg would be a little bit more active than Derek was in that fight.
That's true. But the thing is, he will have that power all the way through. That is one thing that I did notice. Greg, his power seemed there the whole fight.
He looks
whether
like
he started getting tired or
you
not.
You didn't see him in person this last fight because you weren't there, but Luke, dude, I think he's getting in better shape, as weird as that sounds. Like, it's not like he was pudgy, but you know what I mean? He looks like he's getting in better shape.
Yeah. Which, I mean, and you're toning up, you're carrying, it could be why he maybe tired out some, you know, he's carrying more muscle on his frame. You know, maybe, you know, they say that, you know, you get a little tired more when you're carrying that much more muscle.
It happens to me. I mean, the more muscle I put on, I notice my fatigue levels going up. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I'm trying to go the opposite route. You know, my fatigue levels on such another level right now.
Oh.
I mean, there's definitely, like you said, there's paths to a victory, but it's just so funny. I felt like there was controversy with him so recently, and now here we are. You know, hey, son. You know, 3 weeks later, we're gonna give you another fight.
Come do it again.
2 weeks, whatever it is. It's super short notice, but that should be interesting. Big boys throwing down is always a fun one to watch.
I dig it, man. All right, listen, didn't do a big weekend preview because, to be honest with you, I'm going to have to watch most of the stuff on Tate. My kid's got a jiu-jitsu tournament on Saturday, which I'm pretty excited about, so I'm stoked to go see that. I will say there is some decent MMA worth watching. One championship is early tomorrow. I think it's Friday morning. We're Thursday afternoon recording this like we always do. So you might not hear this, but just the big focus there on that Friday card, John Lineker's on there. He's making his one championship debut. Yeah, so that will come on, I want to say 10 Eastern or so, 10 a.m. Eastern on Friday morning. So, yeah, John Lineker, keep an eye out on social media if you happen to get an early listening to this. But John Lineker will be making his one championship debut. Johnny Nunes is also on there, of course. That's Misha Tate's boyfriend, father of her kid. So that'll be over there. That's something to watch on the ONE Championship card. And then Bellator has two cards back-to-back, Bellator 231 and 232. By the way, Matt Erickson and Nolan King are out there. You know, a couple decent fights on there between the two cards. I mean, Bellator 231 is Friday night. That is on Paramount and DAZN simultaneously. Frank Mir and Roy Nelson, the rematch there, is the main event. Of course, some recognizable names. Beck Rawlings. I know you never have a problem watching a Beck Rawlings fight there.
That's why that talk the other day on our Slack channel about Beck Rawlings, Paige Van Zandt fight, I was like, oh, that's a good-looking fight right there. Won't happen, but that'd be a good-looking fight.
yeah, I know you don't hate dealing with Beck Rawlings. She's always a trip. Jake Hager's on there if you're a big wrestling fan. A couple names kind of scattered throughout here. I mean, Mandel Nalo is making his return against a very tough Killis Mota. Steve Mowry on there, so a couple names worth paying attention to that I think people are going to watch. Dalton Roasta, the prospect there, and then Bellator 232, the best fight. You know what, I don't know if I want to say that. I was going to say the best fight of the weekend, but you do have UFC as well with Damian Maia versus Ben Askren.
That's a good one, man.
So is Damian Maia versus Ben Askren, or is Rory McDonald versus Douglas Lima? Which one is the best fight of the weekend?
That's got to be that one. I would think McDonald Lima.
Yeah, I think
at
so
least
too.
The one that I'm more intrigued. I mean, I am super excited to see the Maia Askren one, but Lima McDonald, man, that's.
I agree. I don't mean to be because I'm really intrigued by Maia Askren. I'm so happy they made this fight. I get why Askren's star is taking a tumble. Of course, you know the knockout, whatever. But stylistically, this fight is amazing. It's off the charts. I'm so glad they made it. But yeah, I think my first instinct was right. McDonald Lima is the it's the biggest fight of the weekend.
It's got to be. I mean, that's going to be a fun one. And I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the line for that one as well. I mean, there's going to be a title's going to be changing hands. Yep. I mean, it's exciting. That should be a good one. But you're right, Maia Askren. That's always good. I love Damian Maia. Askren's always fun to watch. But you know, his star might have a little less shine, but he's still fucking so much fun to watch, and he's just fun fight week. So.
Yeah, stylistically, it's awesome. They both, I mean, I think both those guys have won fights where they didn't even throw a single punch. I mean, it's.
Wouldn't it be funny if this fight becomes just a stand up brawl?
No, it would not be funny.
People sleep on Maya's hands, man. I've been saying for a long time, even though he's yet to really prove me right, that I think Maya has.
People sleep on Maya's hands, Maya's hands don't put nobody to sleep.
I think, watch, this will be Maya's KO, man. Maya's got good hands, man. I remember just over the years watching him open workouts and other stuff. He's got good hands. He just chooses to do what works, and I have no problem with that. But
the only strike I want to see Damian Maia throw is I want to see him like reenact the Masvidal open, you know what I mean? But obviously it'll be in like 50% speed, you know, like
just run out and just throw a flying knee just for the get-go.
he'll
see if it works.
He'll literally just plod forward and jump like an inch and a half off the ground, you know.
He might have hops.
I want to see Askren and Maia. I literally want to see them come to the center. Slap hands, fist bump.
Just get down.
Just both get on the ground and start scooting towards each other.
You're going to jinx that fight,
though. Oh, it better not be, man. It better not be. Paul Daly's on the card. Sada Wad stepped in late notice. Patrick Mix is on there, the undefeated kid that everybody's high on right now. Vitaly Minnikov and Javi Ioli. Nick Newell is on there. Robin Van Roosmalen, the kickboxing champion, is on there as well. So, I mean, listen, there are some decent fights over the weekend. I will not be offering a lot of live coverage of them because I will be enjoying, like I said, the rest of my vacation.
I'm saying it's vacay, man.
My
staycay. Well, you partially did a little bit.
Mainly a staycay. Yeah, mainly a staycay, but took care of some stuff around the house. Like I said, got my computers fixed, which was key to me. Did a little bit of Disneyland. And like I said, I am super stoked for Saturday to see my kid in his jiu-jitsu competition. By the way, you got to finish up this.
I know.
The Hatch IPA, because we got one final tasting today.
Yes.
While Cold Coffee is making a quick work of the final sip of that Hatch IPA, I'll say, if you enjoy the show and you want to support us, and you go Patreon.com, the MMA Roadshow. We certainly would appreciate it. Trying to kind of rebuild the Patreon.com and you know, it gives us an opportunity to help support the show. It helps us grow the show, doing some things. We got some visions. We're talking. Me and Cold Coffee, we're talking about stuff. We've been doing this podcast for 239 consecutive weeks. Mm. We're not the greatest businessmen in the world, but we just enjoy getting together and having a few frosty beverages.
It's funny, we come up with lots of ideas after we drink, and then we just forget about them right after.
We forget about them all, and we know we can't execute them. But if you can help us out there on Patreon.com, that would help us out. It helps us grow the show a little bit and try to build a little community there. Have a little interaction between us and the patrons, and of course, you know, we're always looking to hook you guys up if we can every now and then.
And we need to, because we've had some good suggestions. I think Jared suggested a beer that we'll have to go back and try to find for maybe the next episode. And I know we talked about trying to have some beer pairings with these upcoming fights. So we didn't get time to really prepare for this. So our go-to pairing for this upcoming weekend will be PBR.
We have talked about doing some beer pairings. But I think basically if we do beer pairings, I think we'll always come down to PBR. Unless
there's something that goes really
– Latsky Brewing.
Latsky Brewing is really good. Oh, that's dark.
Look at this.
See, good thing we put it last.
I know.
Bunch of good dark. You can't go back to
light. I
think
Anthony Beach – once Anthony Beach listens to this episode, I think he'll be super happy with the way that I grabbed a random trio. He sent me a collection. I'll be hanging on to these –
We can bring more next week. You don't have to go.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to hang on to him. Sometimes Anthony, I'm going to peel back the curtains a little bit. Sometimes Anthony sends me a shipment of beers that are intended for myself and Cold Coffee, and Cold Coffee never sees them.
I never see them.
Now, luckily, Cold Coffee's a good sport, and he'll just be like, yeah,
I know they happened.
They were so good.
I know they happened.
I really enjoyed them. I'm like, thanks, Cold Coffee. I appreciate you covering up for me. But this time, I've put them in my outside refrigerator, so they're not top of mind, they're staying there, and that way I can pace myself, and I can make sure that you get to enjoy these wonderful Latchkey Brewing, San Diego, California.
I do want to say, Jared had a good suggestion about maybe trying to do
Hancock
some
Street.
About doing some best of the year stuff, best KO. Ooh. You've been getting the emails I've been forwarding to you, right?
Yep.
So we get everything that you guys send, especially to our patrons. You guys send that stuff, we get all that stuff, and we send it on. So. We'll consider that, doing maybe end of the year best of
I like that.
Show,
okay.
You know, trying to start thinking of some of those different little ones. But thank you again to all the patrons and stuff. But on a serious note, before we end, it's already I know he's recovering well, but we have to say I hope the best for Randy Couture, who
definitely, man,
was hospitalized with a heart attack earlier, Wednesday, yesterday.
Yep. Story just came out today, but yeah, man, definitely. You know, it's funny. I definitely had that in my notes to talk about as well. Definitely want to, you know, all the thoughts and prayers, as they say, for a speedy recovery. But man, Randy Couture, you know, my kid trains at Syndicate and Extreme Couture, so I'm in both gyms quite a bit. And I often get asked by people, you know, how often does Randy show up to Extreme Couture in Las Vegas? And the truth is, he doesn't show up a ton.
He's a busy dude.
He's a busy guy. But what I always say is when he is there, it is crazy. Maybe not crazy, but just cool to see the reverence that fighters have for him. Because he'll come in and he'll jump into pro practice and he'll start giving, you know, a lesson, a seminar, whatever you want to say. You know, he'll take over that day kind of coaching everything. And, dude, I mean, every fighter in there, man, no distraction, no looking around, no, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, they are dialed in because they get it, man. This is the natural, dude. This, yeah, is the legend. I want to hear what he has to say. And, of course, I mean, obviously, you know, all aspects of MMA he's an expert in, but when he's talking about that clinch game, man, and he's showing them the finer aspects of the Greco and what they can do, and that, like, dude, it's cool. It's like, you know, yeah, people watching a master at work. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, what better? I mean, like, that would be worth the price of admission or membership right there. And he's another guy that recently, and I was looking at this picture, this lovely picture on our website from recently when I went over there and shot some stuff with the GI Foundation.
Right.
You know, he's big in giving back to our troops and other stuff. So, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he might not be all the time because the dude's busy, man. He's got his career in Hollywood, but also he's got foundations. He's got a lot of stuff going on. So he's got a lot of stuff on his plate, you know. So I can see where, you know, busy life, busy person, man, you don't notice these things. Like, he wasn't feeling well after a workout, you know, and then he goes to the hospital and gets checked out and figures out that, you know, he had a heart attack, you know. So you know, as healthy as us individuals like yourself and my are, you know, it's definitely one of those signs, you know, pay attention to those signs that your guys' bodies might be showing you. But I don't know. We just had to say something. I love Randy, man. He's, like you said, he's a busy dude. But every time I've had the chance to talk with him, he gives you 100% of his focus. And, you know, for somebody that has the status and the star stature of what he's done to still be able to kind of be in the moment and give you what you need. I appreciate that. And I love that he gives back to our troops, and I love that the stuff he does. So I give him the best.
The timing was unfortunate, man. I was literally talking because, as you mentioned, giving back, he's doing a charity event partnering with Tough Enough here in Las Vegas, amateur organization that do commentary for as often as possible, November 9th at Samstown Casino. And it is designed to raise money for the troops. And I was actually talking to Tough Enough, and I was saying, you know, they were like, hey, listen, if you could be a part of that card, it would be great. Just FYI, because it is a charity event, you know, we can't pay you what we normally pay you, man. It would be you, you know, donating your time as well. And I said, absolutely, man. Yeah. Like, obviously, the guys at Tough Enough, man, I love them, man. They put on such a great show.
Good folks.
They are great people. And so I said, absolutely. But then knowing, of course, as well, that the charity is Randy Couture and the troops, I said, no problem. I waive my fee. I'm in. Let's do this, man.
That's awesome.
I'm down. And then to get that news right after, I was like, man, it's crazy. So, yeah.
I'm glad he's expected to make a full recovery. So we will say that. So
no doubt about it. All right. In the second worst transition of the day, our final beverage this evening is the. I love the name. This is clever. Java the Hutt. Java the Hutt.
I can taste the coffee.
Yes, this is a porter with coffee and cocoa nibs. 6.8% alcohol by volume. On the tasting notes, it is a crisp, dry porter featuring Mostra Brazilian coffee and Ecuadorian cocoa nibs.
Oh.
Anthony Beach just bringing it from all over the globe. Brazilian coffee,
what
are Ecuadorian
cocoa nibs?
Cocoa
Those just
nibs?
Little cocoa, like, is that another way of saying like a cocoa chip? Cocoa nibs.
Just a nib.
But I love – so it's Brazilian coffee, which we all know Brazilian coffee is absolutely delicious. But, dude, that is the bomb. That is really good. But, like, you can't not taste the coffee as soon as you sip that in. That is really, really good. I like a lot of these coffee ones, these, like, coffee stouts, especially some of the ones that do, like, the nitro thing.
But, it's beautiful.
But this doesn't even need the nitro. It's, like, super creamy and, like, smooth.
And I didn't even throw in, by the way, they were drinking out of these beautiful Latchkey Brewing glasses as well.
He sent you these, too, and I never see these either, huh? I guess I'll just – I just politely not remember to put this one back in your bag. Hey, Anthony, John never gives me any of the shit you send, so I don't know if you ever address anything.
Oh, man, that's fair. All right, listen, I got to get back to vacation, and you're probably bored of us talking anyway. We didn't have any interviews, didn't have any audio, we didn't have any of that, but hopefully you enjoyed the conversation anyway. I want to give one last, I guess, kind of a MMA-related, but personal shout-out as well, a recommendation. I'm sure probably a lot of people are, but if you're not a fan of Real Sports on HBO, I think it's a great program. I've been watching it for 20 years, man. I love that. It's honestly comes out once a month. I think it's the last Tuesday of every month that they post them. And honestly, it's probably my favorite show on TV because it's a news show, but it's kind of like a documentary of some degrees. I mean, it's a news show, but it's about sports. You know what I mean? And so I really like what they do. But they had the one that just came out earlier this week. One of the features wasn't MMA related, but had me totally just dialed in for MMA. It was a feature on the president of basketball operations of the Toronto Raptors. His name is Masai Ujiri, and he was born in Nigeria. And so he became the first like African-born president of a sports organization to win a major title. And
is this
brought
the guy that tried to get on the court the one time and the security guard didn't
recognize
him?
That is the guy.
Him?
And that was actually featured. That wasn't a central like theme in the thing.
But it was
talked about, which I wasn't aware of that. It's so funny that you knew about that incident. I wasn't aware of that. But it basically showed him like taking the NBA championship trophy back to Nigeria to show his original coach and to share it with him.
That's cool.
But what got me excited about this was it's crazy. So this guy for I think it's like the last 10 years he's been working with the NBA to help host these camps like in Nigeria and where they've been taking like the best talent in Africa and teaching them not only about just, you know, sports skills, yeah, but also just life skills, leadership skills, all those good things. But it just made me think, man, you know, like the talent development that they're doing, like what they're trying to call, and now you look at, man, what we have in MMA with Kamaru Usman,
right,
and Israel Adesanya. And he was even saying, now, granted, I don't know if it applies as much, but he was talking about, like, there's, like, these, you know, remote villages where, like, the, you know how Israel always says, like, I'm the runt of my people?
Right.
He was saying, like, there's these remote villages and stuff that people never even heard of where, like, the average height of the guys there is, like, 6'8".
Jesus.
You know what I mean? So it was, like, it was so cool to see. So, and it was cool to see the way these guys, and I didn't know this, the NBA is partnering to launch a pro league over in Africa. That, huh. I guess it'll be like a developmental league that they'll be a part of. I'm sure hardcore basketball
fans. Makes sense.
Basketball,
I mean, they've been big and jumping into other markets.
So cool. But it just made me think about the possibilities of the UFC and mixed, yeah, martial arts. And, you know, like, if here's this developing country with developing athletes, and now they're trying to build infrastructure. And I don't know. It's really cool. The other, by the way, the same episode, they did a piece on the Michael Vick dogs, who of course Richard Hunter was a,
yeah,
good friend of the show. Richard Hunter, I think his
dog passed not too long
recently
ago.
Passed, but yeah. Yeah, man, it's kind of a revisit of that, and a dog here. You know, they're kind of featuring one that had passed as well. But I don't, man, kind of revisit, man. Real sports. I'd almost forgotten how horrific the Michael Vick case
was.
Man, it was bad. But yeah, real sports. Man, it's been around for 20
years.
It's
been around for a long time.
It's a dude, but I'm telling you, it's a dope show. But the last episode, I thought had a really cool MMA tie and like the development of Africa, but then also the connection to Richard Hunter and his
That'd be super sad. I don't want to watch that part.
It was sad, but it wasn't sad.
But it was. Yeah, they tried to make it because that was horrific. Oh. That was so bad. I was so mad for so long. I just wanted to, oh, boy.
But real sports will always have one story every episode that makes me cry.
Yeah.
I never cry in real life. I cry watching movies. I'll be honest.
Not even at Disneyland?
Not even at Disneyland. I cried one time at Disneyland. It was like 3 years old. Well, not 3 years old. My kid, I think, was three or four. Probably four, I guess. I don't remember. But we were sitting down, and we were having dinner, or we were having like a meal or whatever, and he just looked over at me like 4 years old. He's like, Dad? I'm like, yeah, what's up, buddy? He's like, I'm just so thankful that you brought me here to celebrate my birthday. I was like, the fuck out of here, dude. I started crying like a baby. I was like, yeah, no problem. I mean, dude, this little dude. Just like, I'm so thankful that you brought me here to celebrate my birthday. I was like.
Yeah, remember that. As he gets older, that kind of talk's not going to happen much longer.
Well, I always tell
Dad, get the fuck out of my room. Get out of here.
I always tell my wife, because my wife, I mean, me and my son are close, but my wife, I mean, dude, she's like, my son's a mama's boy in a lot of ways. I mean, he's my son as well, but they are super, super tight. My wife's a stay-at-home mom, and so she takes him to school every day and picks him up. But it's always funny because she's like, I love him so much. He's the greatest. I'm like, one day he's going to tell you fucking hate your guts. So just be ready for that.
It's going to happen. I love it.
God bless. All right, listen. Back to vacation for me. I'm going to get out of your hair. You didn't even know I was coming over here. You thought I was going to try to figure out a way to do this from Disneyland.
I thought you were still in Disneyland. I thought you were the guy delivering water and knocking at the door. We're on a conference call. I was like, somebody's at my door. I got to go answer the door real quick.
And it was me. So, all right, I'm going back to vacation. We will be together. UFC 244 next week. John Morgan, Cole Coffey, we think we'll be together.
We think so.
We think we got a BMF title on the line. We'll find out. In the meantime, thanks for listening.